individual, species, or the like resulting from such a departure. That's as it relates to biology. That's not the one we're looking at. Okay. Number two is the act or process of changing. Number three, a change or alteration as in form or nature. You follow me?
Uh-huh.
It's a change. Okay, a change or alteration. That's what it is. And what, as Manuel said, what they did is they altered history.
Okay, now reread that line again for us so we can get it in context now that we know what mutation you're talking about.
Okay. Okay, she's talking about the name. So that line is almost half of the paragraph. There was some also who passed over the sea in ships and inhabited the islands, and some of those nations do still retain the denominations which were given them by their first founders. The denominations are the names. That's all that is. But some have lost them also. We're talking about names now. Names of countries and so on and so forth. Okay, some have only admitted certain changes in them that they might be the more intelligible to the inhabitants. And they were the Greeks who became the authors of such mutations.
Okay, yeah. We got it. I don't know why they used the word denomination. I mean, for Pete's sake.
That's old English. That's old English.
This is Josephus' writings. I'm reading out of the writings of Josephus.
This is a long time ago.
That's right. We're talking about the time of 70 AD.
After ages they grew potent, they, talking about the Greeks, claimed to themselves the glory of antiquity. This is what he's saying. They said, hey, we are it. It don't go no further back than this.
That's because, like my dad used to say, he said they are genetic mutations anyway, so why wouldn't they carry their mutation philosophy into other areas?
Hey. You know? So they claimed to themselves the glory of antiquity. So in other words, they said we are as far back as history needs to go.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they said.
Because we don't want to deal with our painful past.
Giving names to nations that sounded well in Greek, as we just pointed out, Cush was changed to what? Ethiopia. Why Ethiopia? Because it sounded good in Greek, according to what he's saying. I mean, no other reason. Why would you interpret Cush as Ethiopia?
Okay, no. There's another reason why. The other reason is in the introduction of the book, because of their arrogance and pride.
Well, that says that here. It says, given names to nations that sounded well in Greek, that they might be better understood among themselves. In other words, we don't like what anybody says.
So then what did Ethiopia mean to them? You know.
In my book. It means
burnt-faced people.
That's it.
It means burnt-faced people.
Nothing more.
That's what it means. And setting agreeable forms of government over them as if they were people derived from themselves.
Uh-huh. And so... They're saying that everyone comes from Greek. If you have any civilization or anything, it is coming from us. And we set up governments over you. How do they do that? That's colonization.
So that's
what I'm saying. There's some deep stuff we're doing.
The beginning of white supremacy.
Thank you. And that was my whole point. That's why the last thing on this list is called what? The teaching of British Israelitism. Okay, so see, everything centers around them, and basically the Bible tells us that the people named the lands after themselves so that in the future we can know who they were. So we know the Cushites has nothing to do with the Europeans. We know that the people of Ham has nothing to do with Europeans. So the Bible says they named the lands after themselves so that people can know. But according to Josephus, they would go back and they would change these names and then insert themselves into history when they did not come into existence as of yet. and then begin all history and all civilization and all existence around them, about them, and to them. So this is where you get your first non-historical Christ during the Greek period. They had to set up that so that they can put in motion the rest of the stuff that follows.
Christos, anointed one, whatever. Now, the short background is that Alexander set up an image called Serapis.
Spell it for me.
S-A-R-A-P-I-S. Okay? Alexander set that up. And the picture of Serapis looks exactly like the picture that we have today of Jesus Christ.
In all our churches.
And this is years before Jesus even hit the scene. So the picture that we show today of the white Jesus Christ is the exact picture of the image that Alexander set up in 300 or something B.C.
Okay, now, well, there's something circulating that is supposed to be a picture of this Cesare person who was supposedly one of the sons of one of the popes.
No, the popes wasn't in existence at this point yet.
We ain't even got to the popes yet.
No, they're not even a Roman.
I'm aware of that, but what I'm saying is
I
mean, he's saying that the picture is this Serapis person, but there's, you know, documentation or, I mean, I don't know how accurate it is or true it is, but they're saying that I can't think of the guy's name, the whole name, but a Cesare somebody, one of the popes. Actual son, and they're saying that he was actually like a criminal, and there's, you know, and I've actually seen a picture of this Cesare person, and it looks exactly like the picture that is, you know, circulating
in the churches today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's many of them that are out there. All of them are wicked. There ain't no question about that.
Right.
But like you can see, this one predates all of that.
So that was our reference, Gwen and Ms. Frazier.
In reference to why that's number two.
To the non-historical counterfeit Christ set up.
And how do you spell that? Serapis?
Serapis. S-A-R-A-P-I-S. You can look it up on the internet.
S-A-R-A-P-I-S?
I think that's right. Let me double check. I'm sorry. It's S-E-R-A-P-I-S. S-E-R-A-P-I-S. And when I asked you if you had an email, that's what I was going to send you, was a reference, at least a reference for that.
Yeah, with the picture and all that stuff. That's what
picture
you,
in the ocean.
Does.
But you can do it
also,
on...
But okay, now I want to make mention. We started recording, so don't give out any email addresses.
Okay,
like
but
that.
I'm just saying she can look that up for herself.
Yeah, no problem. So, because the stuff that we're covering, obviously other people are going to be in the same boat. So I said, all right, we might as well get this on tape so people can, you know, listen to it.
I heard
this.
Come on while I was talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. Okay, so back to our time frames. We started off with the Greeks. The second one is what? Not from you, Bobby.
The
non-historical counterfeit Christ called Serapis. Okay, and then we move to who?
The Romans.
Okay, the Roman time period, okay, and then we move to the Messiah. Okay, that's good, and we place some time frames around this. What date did you come with the Greeks? I think you said 334 B.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now when we're talking about this Serapis, the noun counterfeit, we're talking about around 300 B.C. Okay,
because I think it's the right pronunciation, Emmanuel.
Okay, no problem. Okay. Now, the 300 B.C. is the time frame that we'll be using at the moment. I mean, we're just using general numbers. The reason why we're using during the time that when the Greeks came into Africa and they met the Africans for the first time, at that point, they had civilizations, knowledge, libraries, and everything, which the Greeks did not have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they were trained under the Egyptians, forced the Egyptians to translate all of their religion, transfer everything they had, knowledge and stuff, into Greek so that the Greeks can claim it.
Right.
And then use that and then wipe them out.
Right. But see, this is the conversation that I have with someone who is, like, very much into this Egyptian thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
According to him, he says that that in the Egyptian teachings that you can actually find, you know, a David-type figure, all the biblical figures in the Egyptian history.
Okay. But that's a whole nother study by itself. If we look down that and make that comparison, that's not what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to keep with the scriptures.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to keep with the scriptures, but
yeah,
I'm
no
trying
problem.
To find the truth too. Because
I understand
my
that.
Thing
I,
is, it because mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking up on the, you know, and I don't mean to be, you know, like this or whatever, but you know, because if we're labeling it as the beginning of the non-historical council, but if they got it from the Egyptians anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, wait. When you say they got it from the Egyptians anyway,
right.
What do you mean?
I mean,
what are you
saying?
Saying? I'm
you're
trying
saying
to
that the Egyptians taught, we know that the Egyptians did teach the Greeks, you know, and they openly taught them, you know. So if this, because I just looked up on Wikipedia, and according to the Wikipedia, they're saying that Syraxes wasn't an Egyptian. It actually started in with the Egyptian thing.
No,
nope.
What happened was Serapis was the name Serapis came from the combination of two Egyptian god and a Greek god. So what Alexander was trying to do, and this information is on the internet that I'm giving you, mm-hmm. What he was trying to do was combine a religion that the Egyptians could accept and a religion that the Greeks could accept.
Right.
So he used Aspis, the bull, and he used whatever the Greek thing he was, some statue that they got somewhere, and they combined it and called it Serapis, which
right.
was a
right.
combination of a Greek and an Egyptian name.
Mm-hmm.
And so he set that up as a god, as a something that they basically worshipped. And matter of fact, they built a temple to it called the Serapian, which you can also look up.
Right.
And now with that, what happened was, the catch was that the Greeks were trying to run the planet. So what they tried to do was saying, hey, since these Africans have all this knowledge and we need to get it, and if we accept the Egyptian religion and put it over there, our Greeks ain't going to accept it. And if we bring the Greek religion, which is nothing, and bring it over here into Egypt, they're not going to accept it because they're superior to us. So they blended the two to become one, like the Catholic Church. When the Catholic Church took paganism and what they call what the people of the way were teaching at one time and combined them into one to get you the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what they basically did.
I'm still not convinced that calling this syncretized God is a counterfeit Christ, though. I mean, you know, even though
it's Christos,
imagery,
that's what it was. That was the name.
Even though the imagery
is the same,
and
yeah, I mean, that's kind of. I guess that's where I'm leading to. Is, you know what I mean?
It just sounds to me like it was a Greek and Egyptian God
that they
like
created.
Just like Mithra was a god of the Romans, which was a, I forgot where they got that from.
Right, but you also find that they had bishops of Christ. Remember, when you're talking about ancient texts, Egyptians and ancient, even African texts and Hebrew texts or biblical texts, we Yahweh's name is spelled with no vowels. Is that right?
Right.
YHWH.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Kemet, the original name for the Egyptians, was KMT.
Mm-hmm.
No vowels.
Mm-hmm.
So you can call it Kemet, Kemetics, or you can put a CM instead of the K. There's a lot of ways you can play that. So the same way with KRT, that's what the name was for this god or whatever you want to call it, or as the first, what was this guy's name, the first European Greek pharaoh, because that's what they tried to do. They tried to become the pharaohs, and they took in all of this stuff.
Right.
And so basically what was actually going on was that it was referred to as KRT. Mm-hmm. Now, that, like I said, the K and the C, they're interchangeable, and that's where you get the word Christ or Christos. Okay, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Christos. And Christos, even if, and so this Christos, you'll find out there's some other texts that talk about that in the past that they referred to Antioch. Antiochians worshiped this thing. So it is not strange when you find in the New Testament that they've called them what first, what? Christians in where? Antioch.
Yeah, but it seems like when you read in the New Testament about the false Christ, counterfeit Christ, it's usually coming from the mouth of Christ, warning people about what will come afterwards. So
yeah, but there will be a today. What do we have set up today? It's the same thing from the past, but it's the same. It's still the deception is still here today. We're just saying we can find an ancient orientation of it, which has nothing to do with what we know as the biblical.
That's all we're saying.
That's all we're saying. So it goes back there. So if you want to say it is today, yeah. I mean, the guy that we see today, we know that ain't it. But most people believe it is. I've been on interviews where people have told me, yeah, I know that's the right Jesus. And they said, why? Because he's sitting right here. Yeah, he's right on my wall. Some people just that blind. I mean, and the lady was maybe 80, 90 years old. I can't argue with her. But my point
is.
So that's all we're saying. That's all we're saying. We're not trying to build a whole, tradition around it. We're just pointing out different facts and trying to get us to see a timeline and see how they all interact and play together. Okay? We don't have everything lined up clearly yet. That's why we develop it. That's why we're having studies. So people can throw out more input, and we can help try to, solidify this thing. Okay, so that was just a point to bring out there on that.
The ancient origins of a Christ, a Christos.
There you go.
My whole point is that, like I said, there's someone that I talk to who's really deep into this whole Egyptian type of thing. And according to him, the Heru or whoever he is supposedly the figure of Christ. So my thing is that if the ancient Egyptians had even a similar figure, then why can't we say that the non-historical counterfeit started even back then?
Okay, because we have to understand what they're talking about. Okay, let me mention this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Egyptology that is taught today that people mm-hmm. are studying, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Nubianism that people are studying today.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is lost science. I mean, that stuff mm-hmm. is lost. It is so ancient, mm-hmm. nobody can figure it out.
Right.
So people are coming up with their own ideas, which is, mm-hmm. they got to start somewhere.
Right.
And I spoke with an Egyptologist. He told me, listen, Emmanuel, what you got is serious, man.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, your stuff is... I mean, and he says, listen, a lot of this Egyptology stuff is a bunch of, hogwash. So you just can't just go along just because they say they're Egyptologists. Egyptologists don't even agree on stuff. But they can't because it's so ancient. And if the Nubians are before them, how can they?
Right.
So, people, and that's why you have so many different sects, and that's why you have so many divisions in them, and, because it depends on what you're reading and how you want to interpret it.
Right.
Okay, and that's why I'm trying to say we're different. We're not trying to follow any of these religions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we understand that, yes, there is some similarity. Yeah, there is a lot of things, but for you to come out and claim that this is, correct and this is the only way to look at it, that was a split that happened back in the 60s and 70s with the original people who started, searching and teaching about black people in the Bible. Okay, so I don't want us to get caught up in that of what other people are teaching Egyptology, how parallel it might be to that. Yeah, but that's fine. That's just a person's opinion. We're just trying to correlate all these different things together with the scriptures.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily opinion because this person is, you know, bringing certain facts. And, I mean, I'm not saying that it is and it isn't, but I'm just questioning because, like I said, you know, I mean, throughout history, we probably could find maybe a whole lot of other similarities, I guess is what I'm saying.
Sure.
You know?
No question. No question.
I mean, I don't know.
All we're trying to do is put things together as we see it from a scriptural viewpoint with understanding all of this together. That's all.
Right.
Most people are not doing that. So if you speak to an Egyptian, they throw out the Bible.
Right.
And
I
understand. Right.
They
and
do.
I understand why. And I agree with them. If listen, the reason why they throw out the Bible is because, matter of fact, we talk about that in the introduction of our book. In the first paragraph, matter of fact, the second paragraph.
Right.
Basically, what happened was during the 60s, you had all of these black scholars who were studying this, and people who were Ethiopian Jews and all the rest of that stuff became scholars, and they started teaching that the people in the Bible were black.
Right.
And the church said, this during the 60s, that's heresy, because the white man says no.
Right.
Okay, so then that's when they started realizing you guys are puppets of the, you know, of the system, and y'all duping our people. And so that's when the division occurred, and then that's when they said, y'all are heretics. Anybody that teaches this is heresy.
Yeah.
This was from the black people. This ain't talking about white folk. I mean, they're just mimicking what the boys told them to say. So that's what happened, and so that's why they said, well, if this, listen, if we can present this stuff and it don't make sense, we're throwing out the whole Bible. And so that's what has happened during that time frame. Since then, other people have come on the stage to correlate and try to correct. What I'm trying to do is trying to bring two worlds together that are at odds.
Right, and that's my thing.
That's all I'm trying to do.
That's my whole thing, and I'm really trying to understand it, you know, because there's so many levels to it, you know, that I'm finding, and I'm trying to make some sense out of it because, quite honestly, your average person is not going to necessarily go this deep into it.
Right, and that's why I be careful of who's on the phone, and I need to know everybody's background before I decide what we can talk about and what we need to stay away from.
Right.
Okay, so I don't want to, you know, and I understand that because I was at that level, and I, you know, everybody is growing at different levels.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is the same thing you're trying to do. So that's why and you need to get the book and the video so you can sort of come up to speed so you can know exactly where we are. You know, in that reference. But basically what you're saying and what we're saying, we're all coming to the same thing. And so I have Egyptologists and I have other people, Ivan Van Sertiman, other people who have read my book and said, man, this is perfect, man. I mean, you have put what we tried to do in the 60s and got frustrated over in a, you know, together.
Right.
And so that's what we're trying to do so that we can teach others how to do it and use the books and the building. Basically, what we want to do is build our entire curriculum because that's what we need as a people.
Right.
We got to have our own curriculum. We got to have our own books. We got to have our own videos. We got to have, and that's all we're trying to do, and our own classes so that people can, you know, like you said, get a clarity of this because it is total confusion out there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that's the way it's supposed to be. What do you think this is? You think they're going to give up the apple cart? We turn it over to apple cart. As some people say, man, we sinking these ships. They say, hey, stay on the ship. We're going through. Hey, man, how much water before you drown? Hey, that don't matter, brother. Name of Jesus, it'll come through. I say, okay, bro, I'm off this ship. I'm out of here. So this is the type of mentality we're dealing with, and we understand that. So we got to be very gentle with the brethren and sisters so that we can, you know, bring them through. And all of us, you know, were at that stage at one time.
Right.
I mean, we got to remember that. You know, we didn't come to this. We wasn't born into this.
Right.
As our children should be.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. So that's all we're trying to say. So we're just trying, and that's the reason why this question is so important. Because in this question, I can see where everybody is, and then all these other things can fizzle up to the top, which is good. Okay? So now we have gotten beyond that one.
Okay.
But that's cool. I mean, hey, anything that we need to grow, that's what we need to do to grow.
Yeah.
We're not trying to, you know, put down nobody. We're not trying to do anything like that. We're just trying to. Yeah, I understand.
And the thing is, it's just so many years and years of being told one thing. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's hard to chew it. You know, it's hard to digest it because you're like, okay, wait a minute. That's not what I was thinking all these 40 years. You know what I mean? So it's a reprogramming, and sometimes it's hard to swallow it, you know.
You're not talking about the miseducation. that's not what you referred to, right? The miseducation of the Negro. You're not saying that, right?
Yeah.
Are you trying to say that we need to be liberated?
Yeah.
Are you talking about some liberation theology?
Yeah.
Okay, so then, sister, you're in the right place. That's all we do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing nothing else. And we have as different things, and we're trying to develop and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And everybody's at different levels. But let's take a 5-minute break, and we can come back because we want to grab what's on the recording before we start into our next section.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so y'all can stay on and get something to eat or the bathroom, whatever, or you can. We'll come back in around 10 minutes, around 3:15. I think it's 3:05 according to my computer.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Thanks.
All
okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.